This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, for it. We asked for it yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
For the Dallas Stars. To step up, and my goodness, did they ever. Give me cut number 7 in case you needed a reminder of how it went for the Stars last night.
Driving the net, Rantanen, he's got it! Score! Against his old team, Rantanen, for the first time in this series.
Sorry. I'm going to get it together.
Safe to assume that you thought that was an amusing response.
That was so good.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people last night were like, Wyatt heard you. You know, Wyatt.
Yes.
And Wyatt responded to me. I didn't. There's no way we expected him to respond as quickly as he did. And as I've seen multiple people say, luckiest 2 goals I've ever seen in my life. Whatever, dude. They went in. Goal. That's how hockey go. You know, it happens like that sometimes. That was the start you needed to that game. And Kevin, I think the first thing I want to do is give a lot of credit and give a lot of love to that crowd. That crowd was insane last night. They were a home ice advantage right from the puck drop.
Man. Well, and
even in the national anthem, it was awesome.
And we gave them even more of a reason to like be fired up. We just scored the first goal.
Yeah.
And the fact that they scored it that fast. Now, I know we've played the Dallas or the National Cut. Let's go to Colorado. This is their beginning of the broadcast last night.
Tonight, Colorado knows that momentum doesn't carry over to games in the playoffs and that any further domination over Dallas has to start from scratch at the drop of the puck. And right off the bat, it is Dallas who scores 9 seconds into the first period. You didn't even have time to put on your listening sweaters for the Avs and Stars Force of Nature versus Kindergarten Achievement sticker. And the first shift is Wyatt Johnston's first goal of the series. Dallas dumped it in.
All right, let's just stop it there. He opines for a while, far longer than it took for that goal to materialize.
Yeah, dude.
Just about what a catastrophe that was.
Yeah, at the very end, he says the National Hockey League, believe it or not, has not announced a time for that game. Like, it just keeps getting better as you go along with this, and I'm fascinated to continue diving in on that. But you didn't even have time to get your listening sweaters on.
Which
hockey dudes are smart. Hockey dudes have the best vocabulary of all broadcasters, in my opinion.
And except for Reggie.
And maybe it's Reggie has a phenomenal vocabulary, but he doesn't use it the way hockey broadcasters do. Now, he uses it in, like, he drops in big words in casual conversation like you're supposed to know it.
Yeah,
hockey broadcasters say it and they say the word the way it sounds. I always go with Razor's mastodonic, you know, like, that's how you're supposed to say mastodonic. You're not supposed to say it in a very feeble way. Sorry. But yeah, last
night. That was a sentence I did really not know where that was going. So we talked about it. Where are the Stars' stars? So Wyatt Johnston, again, last year, amazing through the run to the Western Conference Final, had no goals and just 2 assists in the first 4 games. What does he do? He surpasses that entire point output and has 2 goals to go along with an assist. All right. Check. Mikko Rantanen. We talked about how he had yet to score against his former team. Well, we just played through 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just played that. Mikko Rantanen, not only a goal, but part of 2 other goals to get 2 assists. Check, check. So the first 2 stars we went after, they combined for 6 points last night.
Yep.
And then the other person that we talked about is Matt Duchene was at 1 point a game. But again, he hadn't found the score sheet in the first 4 games.
He was all over the place last night, though.
Yes, and he didn't have that same penalty that you were like, what the hell?
How many penalties did Marchment have last night?
Marchman had none, I believe. Hey,
that's nice to see. Yeah. Somebody texted in yesterday. They're like, what do you want, guys? Do you want physicality or do you want no penalties? And I was like, there is a happy medium in there.
Yeah.
Where there is definitely a, you're not reaching to make, when you mess a play up, you're not reaching and putting your stick out in front of somebody where it doesn't need to be. And that's what I was frustrated by with Marchman. But Kevin, for me, I mean, Duchesne was all over the ice.
Yep.
Setting people up. Yep. He was doing everything he could. Yep. And not every one of them went in, although they should have. But one, my guy that I was very like, I need more from you, was Roppe. And yeah. Last night, Kevin, when it comes to what Roppe has done in this series, I've been watching a different player, I feel, than what he was whenever Mikko's not on his line.
Can you tell me more about that?
It seemed just, and I could be definitely wrong. You know, Hockey Hawk could come in here and have some discussions with this. But it looks like Roppe's taken on this, you know what? Mikko's the star on this line. I'm going to be an enforcer for him. I'm watching Roppe go light people up and be an instigator around the net, and he's irritating people and he's punching McKinnon in the back of the head ways that are positive. Those are positive head punches. Mm-hmm. But he looks like he's using his size and physicality more than just being a super speedster that gets off a good shot. And that's what I'm seeing, and he's actually creating more by doing that. So I really like what I'm seeing with him and Mikko paired on that first line.
Now, I love this. From the 214, I'm happy because I named my six-month-old Wyatt, and now they're kicking ass for both the Stars and the Rangers. A couple of other players to talk about. Cody Ceci did his best on one knee to try to shut things down.
What an amazing job.
And you know what I loved about that is how crazy the crowd went for the fact that Ottinger shut down the puck.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things that we talk about all the time with the Rangers fans is sometimes
recognizes.
Yeah. And sometimes you wish you're down 3-1 in the eighth and you get a walk or a single that people are like,
reward your players.
And that is exactly what happened because CeCe is like doing his best. He's on one knee. Watching him get off the ice was very strange as well.
Yeah.
But then Ottinger immediately understanding that, covering up the puck, shutting down the play so you can reset it, and the fans going berserk for it. The other thing is sometimes the stats don't match what I felt like I was seeing.
Okay.
So what do you think, if you had to guess, Alec, what do you think the hit differential was last night in the game?
Ooh. Very trick question. Knowing the Stars, I would feel like it would probably somewhere in like the 8-10 range.
Yeah, but like watching the game, it felt like at times it felt to me like 3-5?
Yeah.
And Liam Bischel, who's like a foot taller than everybody, was like, that's fine. And he hurled some chump to the ground because he's like, you want some of this smoke? That's fine. 51-29 Colorado.
There was one point, was it? That's a significant. That doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
That doesn't feel right at all. But the Stars were ahead of everything last night. So maybe it was just they were get puck. The double hit. Was it Marchment and Duchesne? I can't remember who the other person was. They both lined up a dude and just threw him on the ground. I was like, is that a penalty? It feels like it should be. They hooked him under the arms and just threw him on the ground. It was awesome. But that number was significant for me. But Kevin, the number that I was trying to pay attention to all night because Broadus had recently brought it up.
Okay.
Didn't it feel like we were just getting beaten on faceoffs over and over and over?
Yeah.
And last night, I felt really confident that the faceoffs were going in our favor. And I believe it was.
Do you want the number for that?
Sure.
Stars plus 7.
There you go. See, like that felt right. And then bringing Bischel up in this conversation, he has been a force anytime he steps on the ice. But we did see he only had like 15 minutes last night or something like that. Very low number. But it just feels like when he gets on the ice, he has an effective impact.
Yeah.
You know, there are guys that are trying, like Kevin Ranta is every time he gets on the ice, he's like, crap, Bischel's out here too.
And
that he's just heat seeking me right now. And they all want to try and go at him. And they do sometimes. They do get him. And he's taking it. You know, he is taking it the way that he is. But he's giving it back to everybody too. Also, at one point, he got the puck on his stick and moved it up ice. And it looked so smooth for a 6'7" dude. Is he 7 feet tall with skates on? Is that it? I mean,
you can't teach
gigantic,
that. I think
dude.
That's probably true. Now, as a wrestling reference, I agree with you, and man,
21 block shots.
Ooh, that, and see, that's a big equalizer.
Our dude's laying down, and even, again, the CC moment. Our dude's laying down for pucks and saying we're not going to let that happen. That's huge, too.
From the 214, I'm going to be honest, guys. I don't watch hockey. I don't know hockey, but I love y'all, and I love DFW sports. So when you talk Stars, sometimes I have no clue what you're saying, but I'm agreeing with it all. Go
Good.
Stars.
Hey,
it's still time to jump on the bandwagon.
Kevin has been saying this for about 10 years in radio.
Yeah.
And that is the 2 weeks before the season, we usually ramp up, not our coverage, but our refresher for you.
Yes.
We ramp it up and say, hey, here's what you've been missing all season. Here's what you can be prepared for. And here's how you can scoreboard your friends whenever they are just now jumping on the bandwagon 2 weeks too late. And right now, all of our Tolos that listen to this show right now are like, no, I've been in this. I know exactly what we're what we're doing right now because we've been talking about this for quite some time.
I would hope that Stars fans would welcome more people on the bandwagon. I get it. Like, I've been there since the beginning. I understand. But like, one of the things about that crowd, you see the same faces over and over and over again. And that's great. But I would also love to expand the base of hockey fans, like not just playoff hockey fans, but regular hockey fans. And so I hope that hockey fans and Stars fans are welcoming of people.
Yeah. And here's something that be prepared as game six comes up. And again, we do not know when the game is going to be yet because hockey.
It'll depend. And because it's not until Thursday. And right. So they'll depend if it's going to be on the back half of a doubleheader.
Did last night not feel chippier?
Oh, for sure.
It seemed like every single time there was a stoppage of play that there was somebody pushing somebody, a couple of different dudes who were lined up, squaring off with each other. It just felt like last night was one of those, all right, I'm getting tired of looking at you, and you're getting tired of looking at me, and you know what? One of us is going to win this series. And then I'm expecting a game six to be even more physical up in Colorado. And hopefully we don't even need to get a game seven back here. But if it does, expect that to be the insane. But game six, I expect Dallas needs to step on that ice and say, we're going to be a physical force. Yeah. You know, Colorado is going to want it too.
Yeah, no, because there's no part of me or any Stars fan, I'm sure, that wants this to go to game seven. Even though, I'm going to throw out these statistics. Pete DeBoer. 13-5 after a loss in the playoffs as a Stars head coach. And also, he's never lost a game seven. Although, none of that will actually matter if you get to game seven. Like, you're not going to go, oh, we're guaranteed to win because of this. Like, that's not the case whatsoever. And then, some fun little trivia for you. Got this courtesy of Gavin Spittle. Otherwise, I would not have known either one of these things. Wyatt Johnson. 9 seconds for the goal. Fifth fastest in NHL history to start a playoff game. And the record is held by Don Kozak.
Of course it was Don Kozak.
I don't even know who that is.
That was 1977, I believe.
That is correct. For the Los Angeles Kings, he scored 6 seconds into a game.
Hold on, was that against Boston?
Yes.
They're in two different...
They didn't have conference playoffs back then.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting.
Pre-merger.
When was the merger in hockey, Kevin?
And then, that wasn't the same, right? All right, I'll have to get back to you on that. The previous fastest goal to start a Stars playoff game.
79 was the merger, so it was pre-merger. Nice job, Alec.
I know ball!
The NHL and WHA reached an agreement to merge in 79.
And why did they merge with the WHL? To get Wayne Gretzky. And they're like, I don't give a crap about your stupid league. Let's go get Wayne Gretzky. That worked out for them. And so the previous fastest Stars goal in a playoff game, Jeff Halpern in 24 seconds in game two against Vancouver in 2007. Then he went on to marry Pam. They had a couple of kids and all that good stuff. So Stars lead 3-2. Game six set for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I would still guess on the back half of a doubleheader.
I do want to go ahead and one more time and just give Otter his flowers.
Yeah.
Like, just if any time we can, like, that's, it was probably important for him after that 4-0 drubbing to kind of get a fresher reboot on his own, what was going on there, and step back on the ice with a little bit of a chip. Last night, Kevin, if I don't know if you get a chance to rewatch it or if you saw it live. it just looked like he knew where the puck was at all times.
Yeah.
At one point, the Stars defense didn't know where the puck was, and he was sitting there pointing it out to him, and I was like, dude, he's on it right now. So I wanted to give that one more good one.
And I do, I like this from the 940. Every time a scrum breaks out, Bischel skates over and they all disperse. I would too. From the 561, the more Stars fans, the better. Never understood the unwelcoming, condescending nature of a few hockey jerks. And I think hockey has more of that than most people, but I also think they have plenty of fans that are like, welcome in.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to help you out.
There absolutely are. And that's why I'm hoping this thing just keeps rocking the way it is. I love being in the playoffs, dude. I know, like, we haven't quite gotten the ultimate goal the way we wanted to of late, but I've loved being in these playoff series. I feel like this is that one. This is that one, dude. It could be magical.
See, you said no to this, Corey, but I'll explain.
My
the 214. Can you, Corey, explain the difference between a good back of the head punch as opposed to a bad back of the head punch?
Oh.
Did it get called as a penalty against you or not?
Oh, yeah. Valid.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Not a bunch of donkeys or whatever. Coming up next, it's time for NFL Draft Overreaction or Reality Part 2 Plus. Masterpiece Theater. Does it affect your enjoyment if a movie based on a true story is really not that accurate or true? Next on The Fan.
Split right is DeAndre Moore. Tight end is Gunnar Helm on second down. Handoff Weisner. Ridner pulling it back in is Manning. Arts breaks a tackle. 50, 45 to the 30. Dare I say it? Say goodnight to it. 67 yards. Arch to the house.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Remember, in this segment, we will give away a pair of tickets to go see Chris Brown September 3rd at Globe Life Field. Whenever Corey yells, you'll know it's time. But not, oh man. He's going to yell something else. I guess that is a little confusing nowadays. All right.
Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Okay. We'll win a pair
number 10
tickets to go see Chris Brown September 3rd at Globe Life Field. You can, of course, buy tickets or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Now.
Good job, dude.
Let's move into NFL overreaction or reality. Now, I know we talked about this player earlier. I just want to throw it out there. Overreaction or reality. You want Amari Cooper on this team if he makes $8 to $10 million.
$8 to $10 million. Seems like a really good price for him. Overreaction.
Oh,
I
kind of rope-a-doped me there.
Yeah, it is a really good price for that type of player. And you know what, man? I guess the dudes in that locker room are the ones that are going to have the best conversations there about what he was like in the past. But it seems like with what Schottenheimer's wanting to build.
I'm sorry, who?
Shoddy? Young Shoddy? Or a little Shoddy? It seems like based on what he wants to build, the culture needs to be with a few other guys, not necessarily with Amari. So I'm out on it, kind of.
Okay. Now, the 806, this person, they already knew where we were going to go. Overreaction or reality, Arch Manning will not be in the 2026 NFL draft.
Reality.
I think so too.
Unless something significant happens this season, he can make so much money in college.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
But he also is living the life in Austin. He's the lead dog on that team. He gets a couple of different opportunities, maybe even three opportunities to win a national championship. And you want to add that to your ledger. Like you really do.
Sure.
It is an ultimate goal when you become a college player is to win that championship and get that celebration. And can you imagine that party in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
If they were to win it. So, like, you want as many opportunities as you can to experience that before you go do it as the real job and real business part of it. So, that's just what I think. That's my personal opinion. And I'm betting the dudes that are in his ears, Peyton, Eli, Cooper, Grandpa, Archie, all those people are saying, enjoy this experience, because when you get in the NFL, it's very different. And those are great people to know and learn from, too.
Yeah, that's where I am with it. I just saw, you know, this is how it goes. The second one drafts over, you project ahead to the next one.
Yeah, I've seen that. He's number one overall.
Yeah, everywhere. And I'm like, I don't.
And he'll probably be number one overall the next year.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably what everybody's saying to him is, it won't matter. You're going to go number one at some point. So might as well get the good experience in.
From the 214, does this really work? I heard a scream, so I tried to call. I mean, we did give sometimes the tickets away. I don't know if you won or not.
Look, man, the phone calls come in fast and furious.
They do.
Sometimes too fast and too furious.
What do you want me to say? And then they Tokyo Drift. Like, what am I supposed to say to that? I actually don't think I've ever seen that one.
Tokyo Drift?
Yeah.
Some people hate on it. I actually liked it.
Okay.
It's a little, I thought it was unique and different. I enjoyed the approach to it.
Okay. NFL.
It's kind of like watching the newer Karate Kid with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that either.
This is just a little bit of a different approach somewhere else.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality? The Commander Stadium will be bigger and better than AT&T Stadium. Cost $4 billion, at least.
Will Jerry renovate and add on before it happens? He'll be like, you know what? I'll show them. They have great technology at AT&T. It is older stadium at this point, though.
Which is, think about it. That's so weird. It opened 16 years ago. Yeah. Doesn't feel right.
And it's a special stadium for the NFL. Like, they look at it and go, man, that was what really set the tone for everybody.
It's about to host a World Cup semifinal.
This Commanders one, I do like that they're putting it in the old RFK area.
Yes.
I know the old stadium itself was a dump, literally. But I think that stadium's going to be amazing. The money that the owner is willing to spend on his own is pretty special.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of saying, hey, just a little extra that I could get from the city, that'd be nice. It is a big chunk. It's a huge chunk of money. But I think it's going to be a pretty special looking place.
NFL overreaction or reality? Man, so Kyle Brandt was talking about this, and he was like, oh, the media, they didn't care about Cam Ward, blah, blah, blah. So overreaction or reality? Cam Ward was the least or second least hyped number one draft pick in the last decade. Now, I can run down that list for you if you like.
Okay.
So it goes Cam Ward, obviously we're going in reverse, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Trayvon Walker. That's the only one I could think of that he'd be ahead of. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Myles Garrett, Jared Goff, and Jameis Winston. The only one I think he might be ahead of is Walker.
Winston was hyped up, obviously, for off-field stuff. Goff, man, that Goff one is pretty interesting because nobody really seemed to want him. Everybody was trying to put Carson Wentz in front of him.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of other quarterbacks that people were like, no, this guy. And then the next one was like, wait, next year, Josh Rosen's going to be in.
And that's the thing is, like, that creates its own buzz. Like, obviously, Peyton Manning turned out to be great. But what made that draft off the charts in terms of buzz was that there were half the people in the league are like, you're an idiot if you don't draft Ryan Leaf. And, like, that would be the thing. Let's say, you know, Shador would have gone second, or I guess Jackson Dart would have gone second. But if you would have had a lot of debate about, like, if you don't pick Dart, I think that's foolish. But he didn't even have that. Like, he was penciled in as the top pick forever ago.
Yeah, and Baker shows up, like, that day was, hey, we're starting to hear that Baker's going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So there was not a lot of hype there, but I don't know, man. It just seemed like a formality.
Yes.
The David Carr kind of thing where you were like, oh, David Carr is going to be the number one overall pick. And you felt like you knew it 3 weeks in advance. And they should go ahead and sign the deal, please. But they were like, no, you can't sign it until that night. Whatever, dude, you know.
Yeah. Now,
ahead and get his house in Tennessee.
We've talked about how we should already just have, like, the pre-draft, actual draft. Alec, you heard the names. Overreaction to reality. Cam Ward is the least or second least hyped number one pick in the last decade.
I'd say it's a reality, but I don't think it's for the same, you know, big grandstanding reasons that Kyle Brandt always thinks of.
Man, Media folks love to grandstand, don't they?
Yes, and he loves doing it about the content that Jerry and Steven put out on our station when, you know, he needs it to be relevant. Anyways, I'm kind of with Corey. It's more of a formality thing because the supply versus demand of good quarterbacks in this draft was not impressive whatsoever. Now, if Abdul Carter was far and away considered the number one overall pick, I think we would have talked about him a lot more because he was the best, if not the second best, him and Travis Hunter up there. You know, if you're talking about pure talent in this class, Cam Ward was the best quarterback in this class, not the best player. Yeah. If Travis Hunter went number one, then he's the most hyped number one overall pick in the past decade, no matter where he goes, if it was Tennessee or somehow an even worse team.
Yeah.
But it's just that Cam Ward is a good quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. He just happened to be the highest player picked in this draft.
Now, it feels like it's going this direction. Obviously, we talked about Amari Cooper today. Overreaction or reality, the Cowboys are still going to trade or sign for another wide receiver and running back.
Oh, and running back.
And.
Overreaction.
Oh, then you're definitely going to be against my bonus question. Bonus question. It will be a wide receiver and running back that you've heard of and give a crap about.
Nick Chubb?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
I'd take Nick Chubb in a heartbeat. I mean, I still think that dude has something to give. The work ethic that he puts into his body.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're there before when? Before training camp?
Yeah.
I don't think before training camp. Mm. The wide receiver part, maybe. But before training camp, I don't see them adding another run. There's like nine of them, dude. It's a ridiculous amount of. And they're like, I think that usually, Kevin, going into training camp, you're sitting there going, they need another body for legs purposes.
Yeah.
I think that all of them are going to get their work in this year. So I think that I think they're done there for right now.
Alec, what say you? Overreaction or reality? The Cowboys will trade or sign another wide receiver and running back.
Overreaction because it's going to be one or the other. I feel like they're going. It will be somebody that you care about or that you at least know that you're okay. Like, hey, that was a good player once upon a time or still is. But that's going to be their cop out is, we did have to pay a little bit more, give up a little bit more to get this guy.
Okay.
Because he is a bit more of a household name. So we don't have the assets to go get another guy. So that second person, if it even happens, would be like a Dalvin Cook thing where it's like you're already kind of in the thick of it. You don't really care and they don't really play.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality? Jackson Dart will save the jobs of Brian Daboll and his GM for at least another year.
This is interesting because they have Russell Wilson there.
They do.
And so I think Russell Wilson is starting the first part of the season.
That is what the betting odds say.
I think it's six games in. I'd have to look at their schedule to see when Jackson Dart's going to officially get his start, because do you want to start him at home in a home game? You want to start him on the road? What's your record? So those things matter. But a lot of times when you have that kind of controversy going in, and it does seem like the ownership likes Daboll and realizes that they have not given him a very good roster most of this time, it seems that they like that enough to let him stick around one more year with the quarterback that they like. But they got to show some progress this season. Some sort of progress. And Russell Wilson has to be a part of it at first before they turn over to Jackson Dart.
I'm going to say it's a reality because they got the perfect situation to save a job, which is you get the veteran quarterback, which they have two, and you get the rookie quarterback to, you know, bridge that gap in between. So they have the perfect situation. Usually it ends up being, well, you've got one or the other. You got the past his prime veteran quarterback that isn't really going to win you anything.
Right.
Or you have the rookie quarterback that you might have overdrafted or overcompensated for. They have both. And usually that ends up saving jobs, if not for one more year, then a couple more years. So I think they'll get another crack at it to say, hey, we needed to reset the clock on the quarterback position. We got that chance. Let us show you what Dart can do in year two.
You stick with the quarterbacks here. NFL overreaction or reality? Kirk Cousins is stuck in Atlanta for another year.
I think reality. And I don't really have a lot to go on with that one other than I just don't think teams want to pay what Atlanta's asking, and they have no real reason to ask for anything less.
Yeah, Atlanta already gave a lot of money. They're like, fine, sit here for another year. What the hell do I care?
Yeah, we just really were hoping you'd be better, buddy. and we should have listened to Corey in the first place that he knows you wouldn't be.
Mm.
That's what I tried telling people.
Alec, your thoughts?
I don't think I can sit here and act like I'm as smart as Corey Majors, but I can say that's a reality because, I mean, why give him away for nothing when you've already paid the man?
Yeah.
You already hit the nail on the head. You've already committed to all the roster bonuses, this, that, and the other. You're paying him. Like, you can be greedy in this sense and say, we need to get a lot because we're going to pay him a lot of money to potentially win games for another team.
Yeah.
So it's as simple as that. Just keep him on the roster in case something awful happens at the quarterback position surrounding Penix. I don't want that to happen. They don't want that to happen. But hey, that's a really good security blanket if Kirk Cousins is there to step in. And assuming he's kind of back fully healthy and feeling normal again, that could be kind of nice. That's a luxury.
Now, I want to do at least one, maybe two more. NFL overreaction or reality. The Eagles were smart not trading Dallas Goedert for a day three pick. Now, I feel conflicted about this because yesterday the Eagles put out like the most depressing report about that. They were like, yes, as of this moment, Dallas Goedert is on our team. And then you're like, well, let's go back a couple of days. Did you not want him on your team? So overreaction or reality. The Eagles were smart not trading Dallas Goedert for a day three pick.
I think they are smart for that.
Okay.
Yeah, they just won a Super Bowl, Kevin.
That's true.
He was a key part of that.
Whether they want him back or not.
Yeah. Hey, that doesn't matter.
Irrelevant.
Exactly.
Okay. Alec, what say you?
Reality, because money should never get in the way of keeping good players on your team. Like, they're overthinking this. The fact that, oh, he's due this amount of money or we need to give him a new deal. It's a tale as old as time, especially recently here in the NFL, is teams move on from really good players just because money. It's like, if they're really that good, you find a way. And that connection between him and Jalen Hurts has been so solid.
Yeah.
Don't overthink it. Keep him on the team. Make it work financially. Howie Roseman's a genius. He'll figure it out.
Now, we're going to get to Masterpiece Theater in just a minute. And the question there is, does it affect your enjoyment of a movie based on a true story if it's not really that accurate or true? We'll have examples in just a second. But I want to go to basketball real quick. Did you see the Cavs Heat game last night? Or honestly, did you watch the first quarter and you're like, all right, I got it?
Kevin, I'll be very honest. I've kind of only checked in on basketball lately
because
on the scores.
Yeah,
I got turned off a lot
I
by
got
the
you.
Whole Luka thing. I love the addition of Anthony Davis. Hate the subtraction of Luka Doncic. So I've kind of been, but I, once they were done, I needed to step away from it for a little bit at least. So no, I have not. I did not check in on it. How did it go?
Well, if you're a Miami Heat fan, not well. They lost by 55 points.
Oh, man.
that is the appropriate reaction to either you're hungry and you're getting Dickies or you lost by 55 points in a playoff game. So 138-83, final score. Fourth biggest win in playoff history. That capped off the sweep for the Cavs. And the Cavs had the biggest point differential in a sweep in NBA history.
That is...
Which
seems significant.
It does seem significant, but if you win one of your games by 55, you're like, yeah. But what I think is even more embarrassing is at halftime, Miami was ahead by 39 points.
I mean, that's
worse.
Wasn't that the feeling that you got whenever the Mavs were playing Memphis, that they were down by 39 points?
Yes.
Is that where we are in the state of basketball right now? Does it feel like we're seeing more blowouts in the playoffs than we've ever seen, or is this just recency bias?
I mean, there's been a lot of close, like, you know, not Celtics, although I guess they've had some close games too. Pistons, Knicks, Warriors, Rockets, Nuggets, Clippers, they've all had close games, but the Heat were down 0-3 and they were like, I don't give a damn. By the way, that was on their home court. So you would think like, oh, I might care, but then not really.
Yeah.
Now, let's do some Masterpiece Theater. Now, I want to remind you.
We do know about theater.
That's true.
Waddle.
I want to remind you, tomorrow, you need to know about fire stations. Specifically, fire stations in Anna because the Sean and RJ or RJ and Bobby Firehouse Tour is going to make a stop in Anna tomorrow, which means all your usual broadcast shenanigans. Plus, they're going to have giveaways. Plus, there's going to be Whataburger. So, what are you waiting for? You should wait until the morning. Like, don't go now and just hang outside the fire station. They're going to think like you're rethinking giving your kid away or something.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
All right, two
That's
things.
That's a thing that happens.
Two things. Yes, please wait until tomorrow to show up to the fire station. But also definitely show up to the fire station tomorrow. And two, Kevin, I know you just said Whataburger. I have a Whataburger note that I'm going to drop on you in the C block coming up.
Whoa.
I think everybody needs to hear. All okay. right? Everybody.
I like it.
I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Now, I have to admit, I've not seen this movie. This is probably like one of the, if not the biggest movie I've never seen. Go ahead and give me cut number 16. It's Braveheart.
I'm dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
So, I've been meaning to watch this movie forever. I think the 3-hour runtime is sometimes kind of prohibitive, but now I have made a mistake. I listened to a podcast about William Wallace.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, okay. And it turns out most of that movie is complete and utter nonsense.
What?
And William Wallace was actually known as being a criminal. And that battle they show in the movie, that's not what happened. That was somebody else's battle like 10 years later. And actually, the reason why they won that battle is because the people they were fighting were like, what's this crew ever going to do? They can't do anything. And they just hung out while everybody else like used the weather and crossed the bridges to their advantage. And that's why they won. And then William Wallace went back to being a criminal right after this. And he got banished and all this other stuff. And so I think that's affected my desire to see that movie. So my question is, how much does a movie being like based on a true story, does it impact your love of the movie if you're like, that's not really the way that happened?
Not really that much. There is one movie, but I have to save that for a different conversation later down the road. And no, Kevin is not talking about 100 people versus gorilla that has taken over the internet.
Aww.
Don't fight a gorilla with 99 people not.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who the people are on your team. It just does not matter. I don't think you're going to, especially if that gorilla has a sword. That's another story Reggie and I were discussing a long time ago.
What?
Yeah. If the gorilla
has a sword and he's good at wielding it,
even if he's bad at wielding it. That sword hits you, dude. It's going to lop true. Off your leg quick.
That's true.
Braveheart, Kevin, I will say, my one of my best friends, that's his favorite movie. And he watched it so many times, and he was my old roommate. I would walk in, it was on. I think the fight scenes are worth it. Like the big battle scenes are pretty cool. Except for that one part. In the background, when you see two dudes just kind of hitting the stick up against each other, and they're like, yeah, we're in the background. Nobody cares. But you catch it, you'll see it.
Okay.
And I think one of the dudes is wearing a pair of Oakleys in the background too, so that's kind of odd. But all that being aside, it doesn't typically bother me that much if it's not that accurate. However, I did not like that Jonah Hill's character in this movie wasn't really a real character in life.
Oh.
People who run ball clubs, they think in terms of buying players. Your goal shouldn't be to buy players. Your goal should be to buy wins. And in order to buy wins, you need to buy runs. You're trying to replace Johnny Damon. The Boston Red Sox see Johnny Damon and they see a star who's worth $7.5 million a year. When I see Johnny Damon, what I see is an imperfect understanding of where runs come from.
That was in Moneyball, and he was loosely based off of Paul DePodesta, but they look completely different. Like the character was completely not even him, but it was the idea of him, and that drove me nuts because I was like, why didn't you just make it him? Why was there a real problem with this? And I was also told that the kind of the Wash scene was a little bit different too.
Okay,
and Ron Washington being in it, so that kind of irked me a little bit. Not too much, but just a little bit.
So people are giving examples, and I want more examples, but I also want to know, like, does that impact your ability to enjoy the movie from the 214? Like the Blind Side being really far from the truth, or if I watch Braveheart, am I going to be like, no.
Okay.
Not really.
So Blind Side, watching it, thought all of it was legit the way it was.
Yeah.
Far after we find out it was very a uniquely different story that was being told. Blair Witch Project, though, Kevin, I went in being told that was a true documentary. I believed it while I was sitting in that theater.
The marketing campaign for that movie was incredible.
It changed everything whenever I found out that wasn't real. I was like, are you kidding me? So that got me. They got me with that one. Smart job.
Man, I thought it was really weird that we had mounted this major motion picture and these kids were just dead in the forest and they're like, I don't know. We found the film, so we might as well do something with it. And then from the 214, and that's the thing. Like, I still love the movie.
We found this film.
We dug it up. These kids got murdered, or this one girl. And so we might as well make a movie out
of
it.
Check it out.
And I get it. Like, the Blair Witch Project, this is a different conversation, might be the biggest disconnect any movie has ever had on human beings, because if you were alive in the summer of 1999 and went to go see this movie, it blew your freaking mind because you thought, oh my God, are those people dead for real? If you watched it now, you're like, this is stupid.
For the 817, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man really ticked me off with the notion that he could shoot webs from his body. That's not real.
Instead of building the mechanism.
I think Dawson has a really hot take on the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Does he?
Yeah, I think he does. He gets pretty fired up about it.
Okay. I'm actually really excited to
crosstalk ask him about that. He likes Spider-Man, but not the Tobey Maguire series.
Yeah, okay. He's nodding his approval for that. Here's another one. We'll get to you in just a second, Alec. Cut number 17. Man, I used to love this movie. And is it Charles Dunning that he's like a 5 foot nothing? So go ahead and play cut 17. I think that's what we're about to do. None of this crap in this movie was real.
So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad to prove to everyone that I worked.
Prove what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also gonna walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
Charles Dutton. Now, there are multiple people, including
Yellowstone.
No, but yes, that family. Multiple people, including Joe Montana, is like, that is not how any of that went at all.
Joe Montana stepped out on this?
Yeah, he was like, bull crap. That's not how any of it happened. And so
put his Skechers on and then some of that. What is that stuff that he uses for his elbow now?
But I haven't watched Rudy in a long time. So I wonder if I went back and watched it, I'd be like, you tell him, Charles. Or if I go get him, Rudy. Or I'd be like, what?
Itch Stopper Plus was the stuff that Joe Montana had.
Yeah, so that's what I want to know. All right.
Sorry.
Alec, is there a movie that you found out, that they say it's a true story, but that's not really real? And has it impacted your ability to enjoy said film?
Yeah, after speaking to multiple people that were actually involved in this Olympics, finding out that really none of this was real sucked.
Ready? Ready. Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get on up. It's bobsled time. Cool running.
Like, the songs didn't happen. The egg breaking scene was totally made up. Like, when I heard all of that, I was like, no. But I think it was our one of our football coaches. He was our leadership teacher as well. He showed us that movie. He was like, Medford, you're going to like this a lot because you're a track guy. And I fell in love with the movie. And then my track coach in high school was like, yeah, like 90% of that was just like, you know, for fun. And I was like, oh, dang it.
So from the 940, I was so mad when I found out Cool Runnings wasn't legit. And then another person, and I haven't watched this movie again since then. And I love this movie from the 940, Catch Me If You Can, ruined for me. I've also, I've also read about how most of that is nonsense.
Don't care. I was entertained as hell by that movie.
Okay.
Absolutely entertained by it. That, great acting by two great actors and other actors that were involved as well.
That's part of my question. And I love this. People standing up for the summer of 1999, understandable. Blair Witch was an awesome movie. From the 2 and 4, oh my God, I'm from Baltimore. I got so scared after Blair Witch was filmed to go on that road. I dare say in 11th grade, I stayed away from it. That is freaking amazing. Because you thought those dead kids were there.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, man. Like, that was... I wouldn't go into the woods for months after that movie until I found out about my Blair Witch Project. If I saw a pile of sticks, I'd just freak out and take off running.
From the 682.
Even if it was in the middle of a store, I'd be like, oh, crap, we got to go.
William Wallace was a criminal only to the English. No, I'm saying like he was a thief and all of these other things. But still to this day, like the book about William Wallace or the poetry about William Wallace is the second most circulated book in Scotland behind only the Bible.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, they need more books, I guess. Do they not allow?
There's a lot,
Corey. Do they not allow them to read many books? They're just like, these two are, that's
no,
it.
Because he's so inspiring to them.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block Book Hating Corner with Corey Majors.
What are the roles going to be for each of these Cowboys players and rookies and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame list? We do it next on The Fan.